Praise the Lord, beloved. We thank the Lord for allowing us to come together again one Sunday, this particular Sunday morning on the 18th of January. We just thank the Lord for allowing us to be here. Before we begin, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We even glorify you because you're more than worthy of the highest praise that we have to offer. So we just say, Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. We are aware that there's so many things happening around us. We are even aware of the catastrophes that's happening even on the West Coast in California and all, Lord. And we feel for those who are suffering, those who have suffered, and those, Lord, who some would say paid the ultimate price, and that is even losing their lives. But the loved ones who are left behind are grieving and bereaved and heavy of heart, Heavenly Father. So we pray, Lord, if it is your holy and righteous will, but it is our desire, Lord, that you would bring comfort and peace to those who are in those grieving and bereaved states, that you would just have your grace and mercy and peace come upon each and every household represented. And Lord, we are praying, Heavenly Father, that those who don't know you in the pardon of their sin on this day, in this time, that they would take heed to your word and to your warnings, Heavenly Father. I don't know if this is yet another warning that you're giving to folks, Father, but Lord, we understand what your word tells us about the various catastrophes and things that are happening and going to happen. So, Lord, we're just praying, Heavenly Father, that those who have been seeking you, who have been seeking the truth, will take heed to the truth, Father, and act on it. It is not just enough. Not just enough to say you believe, but you must put your belief, your faith to work. So we're praying that that will be done today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we about to go forth and give forth your word, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would even allow me to be an instrument used in your hand this day, Father, void of my pride and my vanity and my ego, Lord. But just to give forth that which you would have be given. And praying as always, Heavenly Father, that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you'll be glorified. For this I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, as we and beloved, as we come before you right now, we are praying. That you will take heed to what thus says the word of God. Even as I ask that you turn with me to the Gospel of St. Luke, the 9th chapter. The Gospel of St. Luke, the 9th chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at the 57th verse. Gospel of St. Luke. 9th chapter, beginning at the 57th verse. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We read God's word from the gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter, the 57th through the 62nd verses. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. Why do we look back? Could it be that we're trying to see or remember if we have left something behind? Maybe we're having second thoughts about what we are leaving behind. Some might say that the reason we look back when we are supposed to be going forward is because we think too much about what we are leaving as opposed to looking forward to what we are gaining. And of course, there are many reasons why people are not 100% sure that they are ready to go forward. I mean, all kinds of reasons. They begin to have second thoughts about a lot of things. If we're going on a trip, do we have enough money? Even after they left, did we cut off the gas? Did we do this? And all kinds of reasons. If we're supposed to be moving forward, in a job, man, it's gonna take more time, which means I'm gonna not have enough time to do this, that, and the other. And like I said, the list goes on and on and on. So people have many different reasons why they don't want to move forward. You know, everything from I don't want the responsibility. I won't be able to hang with certain buddies, pals, friends that I'm used to hanging with, and like I said, all kinds of reasons. You know, probably the most famous example in the scriptures of the consequence of looking back is when the Lord told this to Lot and his wife and his family, don't look back. Sent them out, said, I want you to go to this place, I want you to go this direction, I want you to go there, and don't look back. I'm going to destroy where you're coming from. Don't look back. And well, most of us know the story. Lot's wife looked back, and there you go, into a pillar of salt she changed. You know, in the scriptures that we're looking at today, the Lord is showing us three examples of why people might not be ready to move forward. Why some people choose to look back, decide to look back. You know, some people even decide to look back while they're trying to go forward. You know, but we're going to see three different examples, again, of people who might not be ready to move forward physically, mentally, and or spiritually. Oh yeah, there are a lot of people who move physically. Okay, if we move into a new location, move into a new city, a new state, maybe even a new country, they'll move. But their mind, their thoughts, and even a part of their very being will never leave from where they're coming from. It's always there. And people can do this mentally and to a large degree, even spiritually, even though physically they seem to have moved on. But in any case, as we ponder these three examples that we're about to look at in our passages that we've just read, I want to use a very simple subject for today's message. And that's simply Don't look back. Don't look back. Now, some of you say, well, that's very simple, that's obvious. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're riding a bicycle, you're pedaling forward, do you keep your head looking backwards as you go try to go forward? Or even in a vehicle? How many of you spend your time looking behind you, even while you're walking down the street, walking forward? You said, that's crazy. Oh, you don't know what could happen to you. Anything from walking into a manhole, a ditch, a wall, a pole, walking into somebody, because you cannot see where you're going. You cannot tell where you're going, and you cannot even begin to know what obstacles may be in your path. And why would you spend time looking back? You just came from there. You know what's there. Why spend that time? Good questions, good thoughts. Good thoughts. Let's look into the text a little bit. Okay. As it says here, again in this ninth chapter, as we look at the 57 through the 62nd verses, let's look at what it says. Now, this man came and said this to Jesus, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever you go. Now, we gotta believe that he meant that. I mean, why would he say this to Jesus if he didn't mean it? I'm following you wherever you go. I'm willing to go. I'm ready to go. Okay. Now, but we'll watch what Jesus did. Now, I don't know if this person thought it was going to be all glitz and glamour to go along with Jesus. I mean, he's obviously heard of Jesus, and he hear the people talking about him and amazed at some of the things he says and some of the things that he's done. And I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this group. I want that notoriety. I want that fame. I want that. I'm not saying that's all the man had in mind. But look at what Jesus said to him. He said, I want you to understand something. The animals, foxes, they have a hole that they can go into when it's time for them to do whatever. They want to just sleep, or they just want to be have protection from the elements, or whatever. They have holes. Why even the birds up there, they have nests. But the Son of Man, this is what Jesus is saying to him, but me, I have nowhere to lay my head. Nowhere. I don't have a place that I'm renting, I'm leasing, I'm buying. I don't have a vacation spot. I don't have the money to be paying to stay in the local inns and motels or whatever. I don't have that. I'm just going and trusting God to provide as I go along. Now, it's not recorded what the young man's response was, but maybe that's the response too. We don't hear any more about I'll follow you whithersoever you go. When Jesus started painting the picture to him and let him understand that I'm going to be going in many places where I have nowhere to lay my head. The sky will be my roof. Rocks will be my pillows. Okay? And I want you to understand this is the type of life and the way that I live. And we hear no more about this young man, about him that was willing to go whithersoever you go. We don't hear any more about that. What about another young man? Okay. He just simply said to this other young man, follow me. Follow me. But watch what, look at what this young man says. Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, Any of us would say, well, that's a reasonable request. Obviously, the young man just lost his father. And Jesus happened to come along and or meet him where they're getting ready to bury him. And well, he wanted to be there to see his father go in the ground. You don't say that's a reasonable request. But look at what Jesus said to him. He said, let the dead bury their dead. Now let's pause here for a moment. Now, to hear Jesus say this to a young person, to a person that just lost their father and they're in the process of getting ready to bury him. And for Jesus to say, no, the dead bury their dead. Some thoughts are coming in your mind right now. One is he talking about let those who are separate from me, who are apart from me, bury those who are apart from me. Is that what he's saying? Or is he saying let those who tend to that chore? You know, today we would call them the undertakers, the funeral directors and such. Let them handle that business. I want you to go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, you're saying to yourself, well, I could see him saying, okay, let those who do that type of business, let them handle that. But she said, but that still seems kind of cold. The man, obviously he has feelings about his father. I'm sure he's grieving and bereaved. In other words, he's going through that process, the thought process in his mental, in his mind, the things that he used to do with his father. Maybe they weren't all good, but they weren't all bad either. And he's going through that, and he's going to miss his father. But Jesus said, this is completely what he said. One, let those who do that, let them handle that. And two, I want you to go and preach the word. Go and preach, okay, the kingdom of God. Preach about what I've been teaching, what I've been telling you. Preach, go and preach. Now this is important. Don't miss this, beloved. It's not so much what this person wanted to do, but it's what God wants him to do. And is calling him and beckoning him, sending him to do. You see, for some of us, this seems like one of those social norms, one of the things that is common, one of the things that we traditionally do, that Jesus is messing with. But I want you to think about this, beloved. What can he do for a father who is dead? When he was alive, was he an obedient child? Did he work by his father, stand by his father's side, do what his father told him to do? Was he a loving son? And we can raise all of these quick. If it was, he did all he can do for his father. But there are many out here, many fathers who are out here still that need to be born again. They need to know about the kingdom of God. And you say you're willing to follow me. I want you to do this is what I want you to do. I want you to follow me and preach the kingdom of God. And I want you to understand something, that when you do this, when you commit yourself to following and walking in the way that I would have you to walk. Sometimes it will mean not doing those things that maybe you've been raised to do, that you traditionally are taught to do. Those things that you even feel in your heart that you need to do, that you really want to do. Sometimes you're going to have to ignore all of that to do what it is I command you to do. Many of us today said, oh, for God I live, for God I die. Lord, I'm willing to go all the way for you. I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do. Go where you tell me to go. As long as I can do those things that I really feel I need to do. A lot of us have that clause in there. But the Lord is showing us here that when I want you to go, I want you to go. When you say that you're willing to follow me, let's go. Let's work. This is what I do. It's not going to be a thing that everybody's going to be pleased with. Everybody's not going to understand. How can you press forward at a time like this, at a time of great tragedy, at a time of great sorrow? How can you continue to move forward? Aren't you taking the time to look back at where you're coming from? Questions, still great questions. After Jesus said this to them, after Jesus said these things to these two young men, there's one more thing, one more example that he gave where our text is focusing on today. Jesus, this is what happened here. I want you to get this. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Again, is this not a reasonable request? Lord, I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to go. Let me go say goodbye. I got people staying at my house. Some of them are servants. Some of them are relatives. Some of them are friends. Let me go and tell them goodbye. Again, sounds very reasonable. You don't want them to look up and say, well, Joe, Mike, Jane, Mary, Sue, they went out. They ain't never come back. We don't know what's become of them. And so it sounds very reasonable. Let me tell them goodbye. But get this. I want you to get this. Jesus says this. He said unto him, no man. He didn't say most men, some men, a lot of men. He said, no man. Having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit to serve in the kingdom of God. Well, as it says in the King James, is fit for the kingdom of God. Beloved, I told you I'm not keeping you long. I'm almost done already. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Look at what Jesus is saying and listen close to what he is saying. Okay? This other one said, I'll follow you, but how many of you know that so many times the Lord is telling you to do something, has told you to do something? And you said, I'll do it, Lord, but what I want to do, what I need to do, what I really feel needs to be done. Let me get that done first. We say these things as if the Lord doesn't know what we need. We say these things that the Lord doesn't know, okay, how we feel. We say these things, we put these buts in there, as if the Lord doesn't know what our circumstances are, what our situations are. Very important thing to know right here, and that is that the Lord is speaking to you. That the Lord is giving you a directive. If you say the Lord told you to go somewhere, but yet you gotta wait until you feel the right time to go, you feel like this is the time for me to go, you better second guess if that's the Lord who's telling you to go anywhere. Why would the Lord tell me to go somewhere in 2025, but I don't want you to leave until 2027? How many times have you said, yeah, I'm going to go here, Lord, but I'm only going to stay here a certain while? Like the Lord told you how long you're going to be there. Like the Lord has given you that guarantee. Okay, you're going to be here for at least 2 more years. So you got a plan. I want you to do this, but you're telling me you won't be ready to go until you won't be ready to go now until another date. Are y'all catching this? Are you seeing this? But the Lord is saying, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. No man, nobody who has started on the path with me. No one who is walking with me, no one who says that I'm going the way of the Lord, and at the same time is looking back. Looking back. Let me get you to understand what's going on here. There are many of us. Many of us who say that we're servants of the Lord. Many of us who say that we are ministers of the Lord. Many of us who say that we are performing various ministries. But yet, you're looking back. You're looking back. Every time you are doing something, say, I'm doing it for the cause of Christ. But I'm looking to see who's watching me. I'm looking to see if people are stamping their approval on it. I'm looking to see, is there anybody else doing this? What are you looking back for? The Lord has sent you somewhere, yet you keep looking back from where you came. You keep looking back. How much of your heart is in what you're doing? What are you looking back for? Three things, more things. I want you to get this, and I'm finished for the day. Trust me. The Lord says, not me. Y'all can read it right here for yourself in the gospel. He says, no man having put his hand to the plow, yes, he's using a farming example. You try to imagine somebody who has the plow in front of them. Maybe it's a horse-driven plow or ox-driven plow, where you see them when they got this thing in the ground and they're creating a trough or a row in the ground where they can maybe plant seeds or whatever that they can grow. You try to picture someone who's got an animal of any kind making this furrow this in the ground while they're looking backwards. What kind of line do you think they're creating in front of them? Or they're aware that sometimes there are rocks in front of them and maybe holes. They ought to be great big holes or ditches, whatever. But they looking back from where you already come from. Why, even when the Lord gave us armor as we get ready to go out into the war, he gave us nothing for our back. We ain't going backwards. We're pressing forward. So why are you looking back? I know, Lord, you're sending me this place, but there's something back here that I'm missing, something back here that I'm leaving. So you know what's back there. You don't have to guess about it. The Lord told you to go. Many of us are just like babies. We want to walk. We want to stand up and we want to walk like everybody else, but it's so hard for us to turn loose mom's skirts, the chairs or whatever that we think is going to keep us. You can't hold on to that and move forward at the same time. You've got to let that go. And if you're going to let it go and put your eyes to where you're going. Look forward to where it is you're heading. Like I said, I don't care whether it's a new job, a new position, a new place to live. I don't care what it is. It could be something even you're acquiring. I just bought this new vehicle. Why in the world do I miss the old clunker? If you missed it, you shouldn't have gone and got it. No, and kept it. You should have kept it. Keep putting your money in it until you realize you don't put more money than you even spent for the thing. I keep looking back at where I came from. Why? You keep looking back at it. You really haven't left it. Not mentally. You're still there. What did you move for? I keep looking back at the old job I had. Some of us remember what it was like. At least I do. When I was a deacon, and when I felt the Lord's calling into the gospel ministry, I remember how they did it back then. It's okay, you had to go ahead and preach your trial service and all that. You become, before you can get a license, all of that procedure. But before that happened, I felt like I was in limbo because I didn't feel as though I should be with the deacons anymore. But we would go to another church or churches would come to us. I didn't feel as though I could sit with the deacons and do that anymore. But at the same token, I didn't feel completely comfortable up there with the ministers. I wasn't ordained yet. I hadn't even preached my trial sermon yet. And I just felt like I was kind of going around in limbo. There are many of us doing the same thing today. The Lord has elevated you. The Lord has given you a different position. Okay? But you still want to hold on to the same things you were doing, realizing that maybe the position I'm in now puts me in such a leadership role that the same people that I was doing things with before, I'm now over them. And we're scared of that. We still want to maintain that friendship, that type of camaraderie. But the Lord says, no. The Lord showed us that in so many ways. He showed us that even with his own mother. But yes, you birthed me. You raised me here. But you've got to realize, woman, that I too am here to be your savior as well. You need to realize that. And a lot of us, don't realize that when the Lord has put us in a position of ministry, put us in a position where we went and tell us to go out and preach his kingdom, that we are to do that to everyone, for everyone. That means family, friends, loved ones, enemies alike. All of them. They all need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And that could be scary. That could be scary. The Lord is showing us so many ways. I'm not asking you to pardon my personal reference, but I need to tell you these things because I've experienced some of these things. I've experienced when I first was getting ready to go into teaching. Still in college, and you had to do what we call a practical. You had to go in schools and get some training under a master teacher. So the school I went to was in the neighborhood that I was growing up in. And I'm in the school, and the people that I'm teaching there, even in the role that I was in, are same, some of the same guys. The guys I later on that day I'm gonna be playing basketball with in the schoolyard. But now they no longer call me, by my name straight. And now they have to call me Mister. It's awkward. Some of you feel as though it's awkward. That now that the Lord has you in ministry, your brother, your sister, mother maybe, father, aunts, uncles, relatives. Now it feels awkward for them to try to put you in or keep you in such a position of respect. But you deserve that. They should not be comfortable speaking and acting the same way they've always acted around you because the Lord has anointed you for a special job. But a lot of us are scared of that. I still want to be your little nephew, your little brother, your big brother, your little sister, your big sister, and whatever. And you have to realize the Lord is, no, this is what I want you to do. When I say I want you to go out here and preach the kingdom and teach all, that's what I want you to do. Everybody's not going to be receptive to it. And I want you to know that everybody don't mean that they're all strangers. Again, it could be family. It could be those that you grew up with. Those that you've known maybe all, the majority of your life. But now they'll start to shy away from you. But you can't look back at the way things were. And the way things used to be. You need to be looking forward. You need to be pressing forward. There's a crown at the end of your journey waiting for you. But you got to get to the end of the journey. You got to get there. We need to remember these few things and then I'm finished. One, when he bids us to go, he wants us to go. When the Lord said, I want you to go, when the Lord said, I want you to follow me, when the Lord said, I want you to go this way, he means he wants you to go. Not when it's comfortable for you. Not when it's okay with everybody around you. Not, well, I'm waiting for this one to go. He said he's going there too. I'm waiting for that. He said, go. Go. He said, come. Come on. That's what he wants you to do. And I want you to understand, he's saying number two, that sometimes there's neither time nor need for you to tell everybody goodbye. That's hard. That's hard. There's some people that as you get ready to go on a journey which the Lord is sending you, or where you're following the path that the Lord has for you, that path is going to take you away from people that you've known for many years, people that you're comfortable with, people that you enjoy their company or you like being around them. But once you start following the Lord, every now and then your paths may cross. You're not in the same path, but it may cross or intersect somewhere down the road. You don't need to let them know what you're doing. You don't have to tell them. Some things, beloved, we just need to do. It will work out. I don't have to tell everybody where I'm going, what I'm doing. Just do it. I don't have to tell everybody, well, I'm getting ready to go out here and start preaching. Preach. I don't need to go out here and start teaching. Teach. I don't need to go out here and be a witness for the Lord. Be a witness. Just do it. I ain't got to tell you. I'm leaving the neighborhood, y'all. I'm going to tell you. You ain't got to tell me you're leaving. When I look around and don't see you, I know you're gone. I don't have to bid everybody farewell. I want you to come on. I want you to come follow me, and I want you to go over yonder. That's what you do. That is what you do. Jesus is letting us know that once we start following him, thirdly, once you start following him, once you start on the way of the Lord, in the way with the Lord, if you keep on looking back, I miss the old neighborhood. Man, I miss my boys. Man, I miss my pals. Man, I miss that job. I miss this. I miss that. You keep going back, the Lord said, listen, you're not even fit to serve the kingdom. That's what he said to you. Your heart's not here. Why are you here? You're still looking back. You're still looking back. Beloved, many of us are going through different circumstances, different situations, and we come across these different things happening in our lives. But yet, the Lord has us out here just like sheep among wolves. We're out here among those who want to destroy you. You're out here around people who want to see you fail. You're out here amongst people who don't care anything about what it is you're doing. And the hurt piece is a lot of these are people you know. A lot of them are people. He said, well, wait a minute. You didn't treat me this way before I was walking this way. Well, now they see you differently. Now they see you as somebody who's always searing their conscience when they see you. You remind them of where they should be. You remind them of what they should be doing. You remind them of the type of life they're living is not fit because they are wrestling with the Lord. They are not just spending time looking back, they are staying back. This doing the same thing they were doing years ago. They're still doing them, or at least trying to do them now. They're not trying to move forward. They didn't get at least to the point that you got to where they left the old neighborhood. They want to stay in the old neighborhood. They don't want to leave it. You have people who hardly or barely even left Philadelphia. I can't leave it. They don't want to go anywhere else. They don't want to experience anything else for whatever reason. But the Lord, beloved, see one thing the Lord has done for each and every believer. If he has done nothing else for you, if you say, well, I don't know what the special anointing is in my life. I don't know where the Lord wants me to do this or to do that. You do know he wants you to do one thing. Go. He has commissioned you. He has commanded you to go. He didn't say, we're here on your step. We're here right here where you are for those to come to you. He said, go. And teach. Go. Every believer. Every believer. There are many different ways for you to go. And that's another lesson for another time. But what he showed us here is that for those who really had a desire to follow him, once they got a glimpse, just a glimpse, he didn't even give them go into all the detail. But once he gave them a glimpse of what it's going to be like to walk in the steps that Jesus walks. A lot of us say, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to be able, when it gets cold, to know that I can at least stay in a hotel or a motel and be warm. I still want to hold on to some of my old traditions, some of the old things that I like doing, that I enjoy doing. I have to make time for those. And whenever those things that I enjoy doing conflicts with what the Lord would have me to do, what do you think needs to be given up? I follow the Lord when I get some. No, you follow him now. He's calling you now. He's telling you to go now. I'm saying this, beloved, and truly, truly, I'm finished. This is not the time to look back. The Lord he's poking at your heart. He's picking at your heartstring. He is telling you to do some things. You are fighting against it. Because it may mean that you're going to have to walk away from some of your friends, your buddies, your pals, maybe even some of your relatives. And you're afraid to do that. You don't really want to do that. But the Lord said, if you keep looking back, you're not fit to serve. You read that in the New International Version. The King James says you're not fit for the kingdom. The International says you're not even fit to serve in the kingdom. You're not fit. Every time the Lord wants to lean over and share something with your mind and your heart is back from where we just came from. No, sir. I have some great things I want you to do. Some maybe even this is a special anointing I got for you so that you can do this wonderful thing. But every time I look over, you're looking back. You're looking back. You look back in the things that you do. You look back in the things that you say. Beloved, this is not the time to look back. This is the time to continue to move. Wherever the Lord is telling you to move. I'm not trying to tell you where. All I know that the Lord is saying go. I don't know where he's telling you to go. I don't know how he's telling you to go. I don't know if he's telling you to go by way of passing out tracts, by way of giving out verses, by way of getting on the street corners. I don't know how he's telling you to go. I don't know how often he's telling you to go. Once a week, once a day, an hour a day. I don't know what he's telling you and how he's telling you, but you do. But you do. And some of you say, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Then there are things you need to do so that you can recognize the Lord's voice as he's speaking to you. Are you giving him enough time? Are you communicating with him enough so that you know what it is he's telling you to do? How much time are you spending communicating with him? And how much time are you spending doing all the things you want to do? Watching your TV, spending all the time on your video games or whatever it is you're doing. How much time are you giving him? We have to know these things to keep us from looking back. Because the Lord is saying, once you've gone, you started with me. Can't be looking back. Some of you are saying right now, Lord, I want to follow you. I feel someone like one of those young men that you were talking to. I feel like one of them, but I don't want to be like them. And then there's some of you saying, Lord, I've never really sold out to you at all. And you know, that to be a follower of the Lord means to be one of his disciples, to be one of those that he can say, listen, you go here, you go there. You're part of the kingdom. You've got to be born again for that to happen to you. You have got to accept the Lord as your Savior, as your Lord. Not just say that he is Lord, say that he is my Lord. He is my Savior. I've been trying and I have tried for the longest to do things my way, but I want to do it the Lord's way. I can't clean myself up. I can't make myself fit to serve him, but Lord, I want to. I need you, Lord. I come before you asking that you would make me ready, that you would save my soul. I have heard, I read it maybe when I was a kid, but Lord, I've heard in your words, you said to come as you are. So, Lord, I'm coming just as I am. I've done some wrong things. I still am doing some wrong things. I've gone some wrong places and I still am doing that. I'm not perfect at all, Lord. But as I have heard the people that you've had serving you, and even in your word, they weren't perfect people. You can use anybody. Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to use me, Lord. I want you to use me. And I'm here to let you know that if you are praying that in earnest, maybe your words aren't the same as the words I'm using, but the bottom line is you want the Lord to save your soul so that you can become part of the kingdom. And then he will enable you as you go along, strengthening you, giving you wisdom and understanding so that you can do those things he wants you to do. If you have made that petition to the Lord this day, this hour, I'm here to let you know that even the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. They are rejoicing for a soul that has come to follow the Lord. They are rejoicing. And for those of us who are saying, well, Lord, I made this move and I've done this, but well, you know how it is, Lord. I've been dipping and dabbing and I've been looking back quite often. I'm on the road, but I've been looking back. I realize now that I haven't given you all. I haven't given you all of my heart, all of my mind. I haven't trusted you with all, like you said, to do in your word. But I want to do that. Lord, I'm at a point where I need to rededicate my life right now. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord will do that for you as well. Some of us, we're in one day, out the next. But the Lord says, no, I want you to be either hot or I want you to be cold. The way you're living right now is making me sick to my stomach. And I'm ready to just spew you out of my mouth. You're making me sick. Make a decision. Serve me or don't serve me. But make a decision. This is what the Lord is saying right now. Don't look back. Stop looking back. Now press forward, press on to the mark, to the high calling. The Lord has something for you. He said that he will, you know, he will exalt you in due time. He knows when. He knows when. Don't get weary in what you're doing, beloved. It may seem like though no one hears it, no one is following it. But if the Lord gave you something to say, then you say it. If the Lord gave you something to do, you do it. If the Lord sent you to go someplace, you go. Because if he's sending you, if he's giving you, if he's telling you, it's going to reap. It's going to reap. You sow that which the Lord has given you, it will reap a harvest. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Don't look back. Don't look back.